Welcome to the Sports Bros Podcast, featuring the almighty B-Live, the money man Scotty D, and your host, the head of creative Eddie Cool. The Sports Bros Podcast, by the fan, for the fan, talking sports just the way you like it. And without any further ado, let's give it up for the Sports Bros. Looking outside, you couldn't tell me it was April, but the calendar says it's April, and that means said, welcome to another episode of your favorite sports podcast, none other than the Sports Bros Podcast. Fellas, it's April. Scotty D got his pirate shirt on. I ain't got no Braves paraphernalia on. B-Live, you don't have any on either, but it's okay. I just want some hot weather. I don't know too much to ask for. I spent some time in Columbus, Ohio this weekend, and I swear it is an eight to nine different degree temperature differential between Cleveland and Columbus. And I go down there, I see some of the flowers blooming, and I'm getting seasonal envy. But either ways, that's neither here nor there. I'm rambling once again, but of course you know, we have the best podcast there is, was, never will be, and I can't do this by myself. Not only do I have one, but I have two of the best co-hosts in the world. Introducing first, the almighty B-Live.
What's happening? What's going on in the world today? I want to go ahead and say my prayers now and my pressure points, whoopsah, because hey, it is April. It is the 1st of April, and I got to already deal with the other guy who is and forever will always be an April Fool. We already know he's going to come with some shenanigans throughout this entire episode because the way he started the show in our pre-production meeting, but it's okay.
We had a pre-production meeting?
Sweet. Yeah, Scott, the conversation before I hit record.
Oh, that's pre-production meeting. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the pre-production meeting.
He didn't use one brain cell. That was... You know what? Common sense isn't that common these days, even from the old guy. Go ahead and introduce the other guy. Everything's going to be fine. Oh, whoosah. Everything's fine. It's going to be fine.
Oh, man, you caught me mid-swig. I damn near choked on my coffee. And the other guy, he is the pride of Washington, Pennsylvania. His team, the first place Buckles. That's right. 4-0 on the season. Looking at his face, I don't know how he feels about that. I see a little bit of jubilation, frustration, constipation. No, I'm joking about that last part there. He is the one, the only, Scotty Cum Laude, the money man, Scotty D.
We are family. I got all my sisters and me. There are two teams in Major League Baseball that are 4-0 on Monday morning.
Oh, God. I knew this.
You know who the two are?
Who?
The Pittsburgh Pirates.
You have to make a decision.
And the New York Yankees.
You can't roll with two teams the entire season.
And I am so excited. I decided to do this show.
Way too grown for that.
With no pants on. April Fools, I'm wearing pants. Of course, I'm wearing pants. The Buccos and the Yankees on a collision course for the Fall Classic. We are going to talk all about that here in just a couple of moments. We still had some madness to deal with over the weekend. We almost beat Alabama in the Elite Eight. We almost got them. Lots to talk about. And Eddie Cool, take control of this. Let's open this package.
And we damn near took a dive against Indiana, but we didn't. And almost got, that's a story for another day. All right, with that being said, let's go ahead and hop right into it. The top of the order. All right, let's get this thing started. Here it is, the top of the order. And then there were four. North Carolina State, Purdue, Alabama, and UConn make up the final four here in this year's tournament. Fellas, has been a very exciting tournament. Takeaways from the weekend, what do we see and what are we looking forward to?
My initial takeaway was that From Scotty D's last comments, I didn't know the Pitt Panthers made the Elite Eight. And here we go.
Our Clemson Tigers, I'm talking about our Tigers.
Here's the problem that I have. I'm gonna need you to stick to one team in all.
I was like, wearing orange last week for us. Remember?
They ain't got nothing to do with the price of tea in China. Just because you wore the shirt, all of a sudden we are in this together. Yes, my Clemson Tigers came up just a little bit short. And my takeaway from that is the hardest type of three-pointer in basketball, it is statistics, is the corner three. And somehow Alabama has mastered the corner three every single time they caught the ball in the corner. For a three-pointer, that they didn't miss. We got away from Clemson basketball. Alabama started running up and down the court, which they like to do. They are the number one scoring team in all of NCAA for a reason. We held them at bay the first half, but second half, they got a little bit of a lead, and we started trying to match them three-pointer for three-pointer. And any team that tries to do that will lose to Alabama every single time. But man, these matchups are something else. My biggest takeaway is this. North Carolina State. They weren't supposed to be here.
They lost to Pitt twice. Man, you gotta be kidding me.
Here we go. They've lost 14 games this year. No team has had that many losses and made it to the Final Four. But that's the beautiful thing about March Madness. Just erase everything they did during the regular season, because when it comes to the ACC tournament, they won 5 games in 5 days to get an automatic bid. Because if they didn't get that, they weren't making the tournament. That's the only way they were getting into the tournament, was the automatic bid, automatic qualifier for winning the conference championship. And then from there, they decided, hey, let's do what it do. Like, a fire was lit. DJ Burns is a national star right now. He is, that brother right there is inking in all of it. NIL deals, interviews, all the whole 9 yards, and bringing bully ball back, because everything's finesse and three-pointers and scoring. And this dude right here is just saying, you know what? I'm going to take this big back of mine. That's that big back energy. And I love it. I'm all for it. And then on top of that, his assist game. Like, oh, you going to double team me? Nah, I got eyes in the back of my head. His basketball IQ is off the charts. There isn't much that he can't do. Don't let the big back fool you. This guy is a baller. And man,
he's got soft hands for a big guy. And,
yeah, he does.
And moves very well.
Absolutely. Ginger on his feet as well. And then he's got to go. Now they got to go against UConn. Question for the two of y'all, because I've been tracking religiously.
NC State, B-Line, I thought it was Purdue.
Is it? I thought it.
I'm looking at
It's Purdue, yeah.
Yeah, it's Purdue.
Oh, so is there big boy against big boy?
Yeah, big yeah. Back against Mo Big.
My takeaway from that is that NC State doing what it do, but then who in the world is going to stop UConn? Ugh. Did y'all watch that UConn Illinois game?
Their runaway train.
Yeah.
I didn't watch much of it because it wasn't any fun. They were up 30, so I didn't stick around to watch much of it.
At one point in time, that game was tied 23-23. Yeah. It was tied. I was like, okay, this is going to be something. UConn went up by 5 at the half, 28-23. And then the second half happened. And the second half happened. One team came out of the locker room. The other team just... Illinois just forgot how to play basketball.
You see that, B-Live? You know what that is? That's the bottom.
The bottom fell out.
The bottom fell out. That's what happened.
But yeah, it's, man. I'm here for it. You got four very deserving teams in the Final Four. Anything can happen, man. We'll talk about it. What's your insight, Sky D?
In the NCAA tournament history, every time a number one seed has lost to a 16, they won the national championship the next year.
You thinking that's going to happen with Purdue?
Well, here's the thing. I watched that Tennessee-Purdue game real closely, and I felt like both teams fell in love with their superstar. Tennessee got to the point where they were just letting Dalton Connect shoot, for better or for worse. Purdue was doing the same thing. What was the difference, though? One guy shooting threes, one guy 7-4, dropping in them 8 to 10 foot or closer shots. Same thing with NC State. How many three-pointers was Big Boy shooting? Not many. And yet there they were, piling up the points. You know, if the three-pointer doesn't work, you got to have a backup plan. And NC State and Purdue both have that. They got guys that can shoot the rock, and they got the big inside presence. And that's – Purdue looks like they're on a mission, man. That was a pretty big statement to beat Tennessee the way they did, because Tennessee kept surging back, and Purdue wouldn't fold. And then Tennessee would go on a run, and then they would lock them down defensively. Purdue looks really good to me. So it's Purdue will be playing NC State, correct? I like Purdue to win that game. I just think NC State, as great as they're playing, is just going to go up against a guy who you can't really match. And Purdue, my biggest criticism of Purdue for losing that game last year was that they didn't get the ball to Edie in the second half of the game. I kept saying over and over again, they got the biggest guy on the planet. They didn't give him the ball and they deserved to lose. Well, that was not the case on Sunday afternoon when Tennessee would surge. They just kept getting the ball to the big guy. They kept finding ways to get it to him, whether it was posting him up or off of pick and rolls or whatever. He was getting the ball and he was making his free throws, which is also important because that kind of killed Clemson, the free throw situation against Alabama. And I don't think Alabama is going to have enough for UConn. I think we're going to get UConn and Purdue in the championship game. And I picked UConn before the tournament, so I still got to roll with that, but it wouldn't surprise me. They haven't really been tested. And sometimes when teams haven't been pushed or tested, and they weren't tested last year in the tournament. If you haven't been tested or pushed, sometimes you're not used to handling that kind of situation. So yeah, this will be a fun Final Four, but I think Purdue is going to have a little bit too much for NC State. And I think UConn's got a little bit too much for Alabama.
Yeah. UConn definitely have too much firepower for Alabama. I mean, look how they just handled Illinois. Like Scotty D said, the game was fun, and then the proverbial bottom fell out. NC State and Duke, I was at work watching parts of that game, and I was like, Duke is done. NC State is the hottest team in the country right now. They are the hottest team in the country, at an 11 seed. Like I told someone yesterday, if you told me that NC State would have been in the Final Four, I'd be like, huh? Give me some of that you're smoking. Give me some of that you're drinking. Give me some of that you're eating, because he's less delusional or you know something I don't. But the Wolfpack is a great story. But they will have their hands full because Zach Edey and crew at Purdue, they're on a revenge tour. They're on a redemption tour. They're going to get the Wolfpack all they can handle. But I think the Cinderella run stops here for the Wolfpack. And Alabama, UConn, if UConn get loose, Alabama can run up and down all they want to. UConn got a point to prove. They said, let's see if we can do this thing back to back, as the kids say. So we all three can agree that we have Purdue and UConn in the national title game, correct?
Yeah.
That's what I got.
I'm with you on that. As much as Alabama can shoot the lights out of the ball, it's UConn is just on a they're on a different level. And it's one of those things where how do you picture it? Like I can't even describe how UConn's just on a different level. It's just we just keep seeing it over and over again. At this point in time, they shouldn't be beating teams by 25 points.
No.
But they keep doing
it. Not this late, yeah.
Right. It's just like, man.
They did the same last year. But like I said, it almost somewhat reminds me of the 1990 UNLV team who just destroyed everybody on their way to the championship and ran Duke off the floor by like 30 points in the final game. And then we're doing basically the same thing the next year. And as soon as they got tested, Duke eliminated them in the Final Four. So, you know, you got a great coach in Hurley that'll guard against that. You get to keep his players protected against that. And that seems to be where their mindset is anyway, because they haven't showed any let up in their quest to repeat. So superior coaching goes a long way in March as well.
Yeah, you're right about that. I'm over here looking at the brackets. 82-52, they beat San Diego State. 77-52, they beat Illinois. They put the Stomp Jackson on somebody. Yeah, they beat Northwestern 75-58. So this is just, it don't even matter who they beat the first round, because we knew they were going to win any damn way. But UConn is poised to just win it all over again. I don't see anybody stopping them, man. They look real tough. I'm talking about $2 steak tough. Like, that's tough. Real, real tough. Real
so
tough.
Now that we've all taken them, I look forward next week to talking about the Alabama NC State championship game.
Won't that be something? We'll be over here like, yeah, we predicted UConn and Purdue, and then we're going to come at with eggs on our face like, looking real silly. Over on the ladies' brackets, my South Carolina Lady Gamecocks, they were on the ropes against the Indiana Hoosiers. They were up by as much as 25, and the Hoosiers kept chipping away. And finally, the Lady Gamecocks made a key block, got a couple of big three-pointer, and they're going to Final Four. Ladies doing it. I'm interested to see this UConn versus USC USC matchup with Paige Beckers versus Juju. Oh boy, that's gonna be a good one. That's gonna be a good one. And of course, you know, we got the big one at 7:15, LSU and Iowa, the rematch. Did you guys get a chance to read that Kim Mulkey article? No? Okay, cool.
No, I saw her going off at the press conference though.
Yeah.
Her in the Washington Post and blah blah blah.
Yeah, it's just the world's worst time. Oh, okay. You about to go?
She
to
was
the
dressed
next.
Up like she was dressed up like a pinwheel.
You talking about the ones that hit you blowing it? Turn it up. Yeah. All right, and speaking of, let's get the hell up out of here. And speaking of Scotty D's 4-0 Buckles and his 4-0 Yankees, and as B-Live said.
Don't do that. Don't feed into that mess. He gonna have to pick a team. I don't care. I don't care what is going. He's wearing the shirt. He is a Pirates fan.
Yes, I am.
For the rest of the year, no more Yankees talk. There will not be Yankees talk. It's gonna be all about his Buckles.
I like the Yankees.
Nobody cares. You can't have two teams. You can't have two teams in college basketball. You can't have two teams in college football. You cannot have two teams in Major League Baseball. I will not allow it. Eddie Cool, go ahead. Say what you got to say.
Speaking of the Yankees, Scotty, they went to Houston and handled business, didn't they?
What?
They went to Houston and took care of business, didn't they? They beat the Astros?
I don't know how to talk about them. We can't talk about the Yankees.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. That being said.
But they actually did, though. Yes, you're right. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they went down there.
I mean, Juan Soto on fire. En fuego.
Yep. Can't wait for them to be under 500 and miss the playoffs this year.
All right, here we go. I
got more faith in the Buckles than I do the Yankees. Do the Yankees actually have a pitching lineup?
They do.
They got four healthy pitchers.
Really, really good pitching. Really good pitching.
Oh. All right, let's go ahead and hop right to it. We're going to talk about baseball. For some strange reason, baseball decided, hey, we're going to start the season this day, go back to spring training, and then a week later, we're going to play some meaningful baseball. Mookie Betts is on fire, all right? Mookie Betts is on fire, doing his thing. Otani, not as much. Could he be distracted? Who knows? But while we're here, let's go ahead and get these divisional predictions in. Starting with the American League East, and go be live.
Man, oh man, I'm not sold on the hype of the Yankees. I'm not. They'll find a way to screw it up. I really, American League East, I'm going with the young cats. I'm going with the Orioles. I feel like they've shown massive improvement over the past couple of years. They're young, they're hungry. I believe the Baltimore Orioles, their bats are hitting nicely. I'm going with the Orioles in the East.
Oh, Scotty D, well, we know who you want with.
Well, this is one I've gone back and forth with a couple of times. I've circled both of them, those two. I'm not trusting the Yankees pitching long-term, especially with Gerrit Cole being out. They said he's not going to have Tommy John, but I don't know if I believe that. Orioles also, Kyle Bradish is starting the season hurt. And they have another young guy coming up next year. They have the Rookie of the Year. They're going to try to pull off the old back-to-back Rookie of the Year thing that the Dodgers patented a few years back, a young kid named Jackson Holliday. I think the Orioles, I like their youth and their firepower to win. But I do have the Yankees as taking a wild card this year.
Okay, Yankees with a wild card. I'm going to have to agree with the Orioles taking the division, man, because they just come in and they kicked the door down last year. They got a lot of youth and playing this long 162-game season. You're going to need some youth. So I'm going to have to roll with them. And, I don't want to count out the Rays, man. I can't count the Rays because, like, the last few years, they've always been in the thick of things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm counting them out this year.
Okay.
Counting them out. They always kind of sneak up on people. They're always under the radar and don't get a lot of publicity. And that they're good. But I know that they lost Tyler Glass now, and they have their rotation is banged up from what I've been reading. You know, I haven't watched their spring training tape or anything like that, but just from what I'm understanding, I actually kind of like the Blue Jays to also sneak out of there possibly with a wild card. I picked the Blue Jays to go all the way last 2 years, and they didn't cash that in for me. So I'm not doing that again this year, but I do think they're still young enough and good enough where they could be a wild card team.
Right. Okay. With that being said, so we all picked the Orioles.
All got the Orioles.
Okay. All got the Orioles from the division. American League Central. Oh, let me see. I'm going to go first. Yeah, the Twins won it last year. I think the Guardians, I'm not saying that because it's here, but I think the Guardians have a stellar chance to win it again, especially with their new manager, and they have some returning starters, so it should be interesting to see. Be live. What say you?
It's one of those things I want to say to Guardians. I really do. Just don't believe in them yet. I don't know. I need Hunter on the show. Where's Hunter at? I want him to give me that youthful exuberance when it comes to the Guardians. I'm picking the Minnesota Twins. I think just looking this, of course, the season is long as hell, and but I'm gonna go with the Twins. I think the Guardians make it into the wild card, as opposed to last year where they were like right at 500, if I'm not mistaken. But this year, I think they're going to improve. I'll put the Guardians in the wild card, put the Twins winning the division.
I kind of think the Guardians are going to have a worse year. I think my plan was to pick the Twins, but I keep hearing that the Tigers are also getting close, that they have a good crop of young. They've been in a rebuild. The Royals are terrible, and the White Sox are in like their rebuild, like their early phase of rebuild. But I can't. I'm going to stick with the Twins as well. I'm a little torn between the Twins and the Tigers. I'll take the Twins also.
All right. So let's see. That's me. I say the Guardians. Scotty D says the Twins, and B-Live, you said
the Twins as well.
Okay, the Twins. Gotcha. AL West, our favorite team to hate, the Houston Astros.
Swept.
Yeah, swept. They're 0-4 right now as we speak, but then again, we know things change. And it's early when it comes to baseball. All right, be like,
World Series champions in this division.
Yes, yeah. the Texas Rangers. Yes, the Texas Rangers.
I forgot they won the World Series last year.
it was low key. It was
who they beat. You remember who they beat?
The Phillies, right?
Mm-mm.
The Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, damn. See, Bobby, I forget that's who they beat.
Okay. You know what? Woo! A lot has happened since October.
Yeah.
A lot has happened. Great day. Because I'm not even gonna lie to you, Scotty D. I had to look it up.
I did too the other day when I started looking up. Like, I forgot, and I watched every game. I watched the whole thing.
Jesus. Well, when it comes to the West, I gotta go with the Rangers. I just the way the Astros just allowed the Yankees that who knows? Like I said, it's a long season. I'm gonna pick the Rangers. You would talk about Kansas City being in a rebuild. Well, Oakland is just in a build. they don't. I just read an article today that their stadium in Las Vegas won't be completed until 2028. So they got to go back to the city of Oakland, figure out some way of some type of agreement. The city's like, all right, well, we need y'all to pay us a $97 million exit fee on top. Like it's a mess. It is a hot mess.
It is.
I think there was a picture of the attendance of like the first game, and there may have been like 500 people in the entire stadium. So we're not counting Oakland to do anything. The Angels, they lost their stars. It's just the Rangers. The Rangers are going to, the Astros may get it back together. I'm pretty sure they'll get it back together and make a run for it, but it's the Rangers. I see no reason for them not to win this division.
Fellas, Seattle might do some sneaky stuff this year. I think Seattle is sneaky because I think with the decline of the Angels, the Angels are pretty much in a rebuild mode as well too. Poor Mike Trout. Loyalty is good, but damn, you're not getting no damn rings. You're not winning. It has to eat at you. Well, I'm gonna stick around and work it out. Well, damn it, sometimes sticking around and working out it ain't gonna work. Sometimes you got to haul ass. I mean, you know, you got to better yourself. So I'm looking nothing from the Angels nor the Athletics. But with that being said, the Rangers, man, the Rangers look real tough, and Houston is going to Houston. They'll make things real interesting. All right, so I'm picking the Rangers to win the division.
I'm picking the Astros again. This opening weekend's not deterring my thoughts on that team. They're just too loaded. They're too stacked. I don't trust the Rangers starting pitching. I actually am going to have them slide down into the third spot. I'm going to have the Mariners as the wild card.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the Rangers failed to make the postseason.
Woo. Ooh. Oh man, scathing money man coming with the realness. I'm scared to say what you about to say about the National League. Let's get in.
Yeah, let's go to the National League.
Let's go ahead and hop into the senior circuit. B-Live, I'm going to pick the Braves, so let's go ahead and get it out of the way. No, I'm joking, B-Live, who you got?
you ain't said nothing but a thing. The Braves easily. There is nothing threatening about any of the other teams in the East. The Braves.
Yep. The Braves look good, man. The Braves are on fire. I have a feeling that them damn Marlins, the Marlins will put up a fight. They got a guy on the team by the name of Jazz Chisholm.
And Jazz put up a fight against that shirt that Scotty D's got on right now.
They had a bad weekend.
Yeah. So
The best hitter in the National League is Luis Arraez, and he was like 2-for-13 over the weekend. But that's not deterring me from him having another solid season.
Gotcha. So B-Live's picking the Braves. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, you don't even believe in your Pirates being that good.
No, I don't.
Boy, you a hot man. Yes,
and in this division, I'm also taking the Braves, but I do think the Phillies are going to challenge them. I'm not rating Philadelphia off. Philadelphia, I think, might be the best team in the National League that's not going to win the division. I got them as the top wild card team.
All right.
And we can all agree that the Mets are
they're doo doo.
Yeah, garbage juice. Central Division: Pirates, Brewers, Reds, Cubs, and the Cardinals. Brewers.
You like the Brewers? I'm going to, despite the Pirates' hot start, I kind of feel like the Reds' young team is going to win a division that you might only need like 86, 87 wins to win the division. Mm-hmm. So the Pirates, if they improve and get to 500 this year, could be in the playoff race. Mm-hmm. I'm just not going to get sued. And I do think the Pirates are going to improve this year. Right? And there's a lot to be excited about as a Pirate fan, where there has not been for a long time. I'm just not sure that they're quite ready to take that next step yet. B-Lev, who you got?
I'm going to go with you with the Reds. Eddie De La, was it Eddie De La Cruz? Was
this? Yeah.
Yeah. Eli, oh, yeah. Was it Eli? Ellie De La Cruz.
That dude. Yeah. I think he's got a breakout year. I can see him 40-plus home runs, over 300 batting. I think he's going to take the Reds to new heights this year.
That's going to be interesting to see. What's the guy named, Scott? Is it O'Neal Cruz?
Yeah, the big shortstop for the Pirates.
Yeah, to see him and see Ellie De La Cruz, man. Oh, man, we are in a treat for this summer right here. All right, so before we get out here and go into our next segment, last division, we got the Diamondbacks, Dodgers, Giants, Padres, Rockies. Who we got real quick?
I'm just going to go with the Dodgers. I don't like it, but you can't.
Too much firepower for the Dodgers.
Way too much.
They had a glass now on Yamamoto to pitch. I actually got Freddie Freeman win the MVP this year. We all got the I got the Diamondbacks going to the wild card along with the Padres. I think the Padres finally being under the radar and the expectations being lower will be good enough to win a wild card.
Yeah. I'm going with the Dodgers. The Dodgers 1, Diamondbacks 2, and the Padres 3 to finish the division. B-Live, what say you?
The Dodgers, yeah.
Dodgers, all right. With that being said, guess what time it is?
Tell us.
I'm glad you asked. It's time once again for our favorite portion of the show, the choices of the voices. With that being said, hey, old button, hit it. Choices of the voices coming at you right here on the Sports Bros Podcast.
And now, our favorite part of the show, the choices of the voices.
Once again, thank you to the wonderful and
ever so lovely Miss Button
for introducing our favorite portion of the show, the choices of the voices. We give y'all the question, you give us the answer, and we read them right here on the Sports Bros Podcast. Scotty D, what's on tap for this week?
Simple. Asked our listeners to tell us who they thought was going to win the World Series this year, and what did they say? I mean, some of them were maybe not thinking the answers through quite as much as they looked at the T-shirt and jersey in their closet. What did they say there, Eddie?
All right, let's go ahead and hop right into it. Matty Ice, Martin Tracy, he says, duh, the Red Sox.
The Red Sox. Oh, what a well-thought-out answer.
Can't possibly actually believe that, right?
I got them in last place in that division this year.
Yeah, so that's that, all right? Hall of Famer Uncle Max, he says, go Giants. This could be their year. Whew, and that stacked NL West, man, I don't know. Arizona, the Dodgers, the Padres. Whew.
Giants could sneak through, though. They could be sneaky good.
Yeah, they can. They can.
It's not as ridiculous as
who did they just signed somebody. Who did they sign? Was it Snell? Blake Snell, who they just signed?
I think you're right. Because Blake Snell was without a home.
Yeah, till late. I think that's who Snell signed with. So.
Let's ask our interns in the research department. Find out who Blake Snell signed up by. Our interns are finally back from spring break. Smelling like Miami and bad decisions. Anyways, all right. So Kay Carlson, she says the Tigers, the Detroit Tigers.
She just happens to be from Michigan.
And Scotty D, you did pick them to be an improved team, so we shall see. Corey Locke, go ahead, be live.
My our intern department did just get back with me. My intern department being me and Google. yeah, Blake Snell signed with the San Francisco Giants.
Okay, all right, Uncle Max receiver. Okay,
that's what I thought. Okay,
all right. Corey Loughran, he said the Buccos are in first place.
Yeah, I would like to say that in September, not planning on it. Yeah. What else we got here?
Yeah, if your team wins a World Series, we expect you not to show up for a week for the Sports Bros Podcast.
That would be something.
Just go ahead and turn your note in now. Hell, who knows? I even might make the drive to Pittsburgh just to look around. Beeline, they have not, coming the Pirates, with.
The Pirates have not won a postseason series since 1979 when they won the World Series.
God. Ooh, he starred.
They won one wild card game, and then they lost the wild card series 3 years in a row in the McCutchen era. Oof.
Yep. They made, yep. Did they make the playoffs 3 years in a row?
They did, as a wild card all 3 years.
Wow.
And they won one wild card and then lost to the Cardinals in the division round, and then they lost to the Giants and Cubs in the other wild card situation. So,
yeah. That one year, when it, the first year they made the playoffs, I'm like, come on, Pirates. Come
yeah.
on. Some teams, they need to be, you want something different from them. You want something different from them.
Yeah.
No doubt. All right. Lucas Thomas, he says, the Guardians / Indians.
I think he just wanted to say Indians because he also being from Cleveland probably just liked the old school name better.
Yeah. Well, I can understand that. All right, and the best name in the game, JoJo Comfort. He says, while this decision is one I can't quite put a finger on, I predict the Buccos will be out of postseason contention within 3 weeks of opening day. He said, let me stop playing. I think Atlanta claims the World Series title this year. So he's predicting Scotty D's Buccos to be done within 3 weeks and the Braves to win the World Series. Shout out to Matty Ice, Uncle Max, Kay Carlson, Corey Logren, Lucas Thomas, and Joe Comfort, the best name in the game, for their participation in this week's Choices of the Voices. Scotty D, what say you?
Well, lots of firepower in Los Angeles this year. Like I said, they loaded up. And I really, it would not shock me to see the Phillies be the team that comes through and pulls this upset. They ended the Braves season the last 2 years, both times Braves being favored. Having said that, I got the Braves. They added Chris Sale, Ronaldo Lopez, Bummer. I'm not expecting big things from Chris Sale. He's kind of a rebuild project. But Fried was out a good bit of last year, if I'm not mistaken, and he should be back healthy. And what's the other guys? Spencer Strider was magnificent last year. So, your starting four, the top four in your lineup is going to be probably a daily dose of Acuna, Albies, Riley, and Olsen. They added Gerald Kelenic, the kid that was with the Mariners last year, was hurt, but he had an atrocious spring from what I read. But he's 24 years old. He's going to get back. He's only going to be a platoon guy in left field with Duvall. I think the Braves get it right, and I think they get past Philly, and I would love to see the big championship series Braves Dodgers showdown. I think that would be fantastic. I think that would be box office. And I hate saying it, but I think the Astros find their way back on the American League side. They've got some pitching issues, but they do have some good young arms. This Spencer Arrighetti and they got Hader now as their closer. So if they can, there's just a lot of firepower in that Astros lineup. I think they can weather the storm of the regular season while their pitching gets right. And if they do get through that, I hate the Astros, but I got Braves Astros. Braves winning it all.
Be Live, who you got?
Yes. I would love to see that NLCS Braves Dodgers. I just feel like those are definitely the two best teams in the National League. The American League
in baseball.
I can argue with that. I can agree with you on that. You got to have two. There's two sides every coin. The American League does put a team in the World Series each year, and they won it. They won it with the Texas Rangers. I really. Like, part of me, my heart says, you know what? I'm just going to say it. Braves versus Orioles in the World Series. I'm going to say it. I could be dead wrong, just like my basketball bracket this year, which is just wrong. We're wrong.
Shot.
But I am putting the Orioles in the World Series against the Atlanta Braves. I still feel like, here's one thing that I'm not sold on I feel like the Dodgers didn't improve their pitching because.
They did though. They did.
With who?
They added Tyler Glass now. Who's pretty good pitcher. And didn't they pay a lot of money to get the Japanese pitcher Yamamoto?
Yeah, and he sucks.
Well,
you might be right. He got dinged up the first game he played. Maybe he comes to form, but I wouldn't have paid $300 million for somebody that's never pitched anything in the major leagues. But I don't think the Dodgers improved enough of their pitching. They've got all the batting in the world, but at some point in time, bats do go cold. And we saw it last year. We saw it with the Braves and the Dodgers last year that the bats went cold at the wrong time. And so, but I'm going to put the Braves and the Orioles in the World Series. I'm going to pick the Braves because that's a homer pick, but I wouldn't be surprised. I really think the Orioles are sitting on that. I think that they're headed in the right direction.
The cusp.
Getting into the sweet spot, huh?
Right. So that's where I'm going with.
Yeah, they're sitting right there on that cusp. Let's see. That leaves me. Whew, boy. Let's see. Out of the National League, I got the Braves. I saw the Braves live last year. They made some key additions, and if they look anything like they did, if they're much improved, then they might have that division in a whole stranglehold. It's going to be real tough. But then, it's like Scotty D said, them Phillies are always sneaky. Them Phillies are always, and you can't count them out.
Concerned me this year.
Yeah, no matter what, man, you just can't count them Phillies out. So let's see. In the American League, I'm not going to let the 4-game slide that the Astros are on deter me from anything because, you know, at the right time, the Astros flick that switch and they get back to business. So I want to say the Braves and the Astros, with the Braves winning in 7.
All right. We all got Braves winning the World Series. How about that?
Yeah, Braves winning 7 because I think a team that can really push them would have to be the Astros. Like, really, like, hey, push me. Like, hey, you know what time it is. It's getting that time. We got to push up on you. All right, with that being said, it's been another edition of the Choices of the Voices. Scotty D, what's on tap for next week?
All right, so listen to how I'm phrasing this. I'm going to ask you all, what fan base in all of sports do you think is the most hated or disrespected? I'm not asking what one do you hate or disrespect, but as your perception, who do you see as a fan base that is generally hated? If you look around, say, man, that's the one that everybody really can't stand, because there are several.
But I'm going to answer that this week. Every team that Scotty D roots for.
You can't hate the Pirates. They've been bad too long. I'm
not that far off. That's the thing about it, though.
You can't hate the Pirates.
You know it. Every team that you root for outside of the Pirates can fall in that category. This is going to be fun.
You think the Lakers fans are really that bad?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll give us something to kick around here next week. So, Eddie, cool. That'll give us something to kick around and talk about next week.
All right. That'll give us something to kick around and talk about next week. And coming up next, be live, grab that pepper grinder, and don't you start that sneezing mess. We got a round of pepper coming at you right here on the Sports Bros Podcast.
Okay, boys, let's bring it home with a round of pepper.
Well, you heard the woman. It's time for us to go home and get what I call the hell up out of here. But before we go, around the pepper, you know how we do it. 3 topics, rapid fire style, kind of, sort of, not really. It's to enlighten, engage, educate, and entertain. The 4 E's in no particular order. Ooh, especially this week because I switched a few of them around. But with that being said, I'll go first. On this day in history, in 1980, in his first full season in the NHL, Wayne Gretzky scores for the Edmonton Oilers in a 1-1 tie with the Minnesota North Stars to become the youngest player to reach 50 goals at 19 years and 2 months of age. And then we pretty much know what the hell Wayne Gretzky did after that. So he was one of the best to ever do it. Scotty D, over to you.
All right, speaking of one of the best who's getting older, I'm going to give you good LeBron and bad LeBron. Good LeBron on Sunday scores over 40 points joining Michael Jordan as the only players in NBA history with multiple games of 40 points or more after turning 39. Good LeBron. Bad LeBron. Lakers road game against Milwaukee, down 19 earlier in the week. LeBron wearing a hoodie and hat on the sidelines. He's in his street clothes. Late in the game, Giannis may or may not have traveled. The referees didn't call it, but at the next time out, there's LeBron on the floor pleading the case with the official. Get out of here, Mr. Load Management. Go sit on the bench. I would have teed him up for that. Be live, over to you.
There you go. Like I said, Lakers, LeBron.
Hey, not hey. A fan. He's not a fan. He's not a fan. We're not talking about fan base.
Hey,
that's next week. Be live, over to you.
Well, speaking of basketball, speaking of on the court issues, well, on the women's side of things in the NCAA tournament, there was a noticeable error in Portland where the way it's broken down this year is that Portland held two of the regions and Albany held the other two regions because they couldn't figure out how to get four places for the regionals, but it is what it is. Women get it together, and ladies, support your women. But
please,
the 3-point line in Portland was a little bit shorter than it was supposed to be.
Oh, crying out loud.
What's with the disdain, sir? Is it is my pepper point not good enough for you?
Or? No, it's like you don't paint the line right. I mean, come on.
You got one job.
And you got one job. Put the line down. Who noticed it? Who caught it?
It was let's see. I think NC State's coach Wes Moore. He said, according to the article from ESPN. According to Moore, the line in front of his team's bench, the left side of the court on the television broadcast, was noticeably shorter than the standard distance of 22 feet, 1.575 inches. So the NC State coach noticed that these lines ain't drawn the way they're supposed to be drawn. But he said that Coach Moore and Coach Schaefer from Texas agreed that since you flip sides anyway, nobody actually has a real advantage. So as opposed to delaying it and having to rip up the tape or whatever, they said, just, you know what? Screw it.
Not only that, but it's the women's game. So who really cares?
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
The thoughts of Scotty D do not directly reflect the Sports Bros podcast and all its entities. Is that sound like something?
It's irrelevant. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, nobody cares.
Where is he at?
Bilal, point up, Bilal. Point up. There you go.
He got nothing to do. I probably ain't got nothing to do with what we think. Eddie Cool. He ain't gonna get us canceled of all.
We'll just edit that out.
Just edit that out. All right, so here we go. Oh, man, on this day in history, in 1984, the 46th NCAA Men's Basketball Championship as Georgetown beats Houston. You mean we were trying to figure this out a few weeks ago? Yep. So,
yeah.
Yep, so it's Georgetown. Georgetown beats Houston. All right. In the national championship game, and they beat them 84-75, where Hoya center Patrick Ewing is the tournament most outstanding player, and John Thompson's being the first African-American head coach to lead his team to any NCAA Division I title. And the sporting world has progressed so much since then, back in 1984. Over to you, Scotty D.
Draymond Green, you made Steph cry. Come on. Be live. Over to you.
That was it.
4 minutes into the game, getting ejected. He's like, man, I can't take this.
It made him cry. Come on.
I was going to almost ask you guys a question in the top of the order, but we'll say that for next week. Go ahead.
Right. Well. I'm going to just name some names real quick. And when it comes to the history of what's going on right now. The names Matt Prater And Justin Tucker sound familiar to you guys? Of course they do.
They are kickers.
Yes, they are. Well, we're going to add a name to that list by the name of Jake Bates.
Oh.
Jake Bates. He plays for the Michigan Panthers, and he hasn't kicked a field goal since he was in high school.
Who are the Michigan Panthers?
For the USL. But you going to put some respect on his name.
Did you write this down, or did you just have to hear
oh,
this?
No, like... Oh, no. I track this.
Oh, my goodness.
Because not only did he kick a 64-yard field goal, he hasn't kicked a field goal since high school. He was a kickoff specialist in college. He did not get drafted. He got picked up, I believe, by the Houston Texans. He made it to training camp in Houston, Texas last year. But in the UFL, call him Jake DeLay. Because not only was it once, but he did it twice because they called timeout to try to ice him on the first 64-yard attempt. But the second one, he drilled just as nicely. And the Michigan Panthers beat the St. Louis Battlehawks 18-16. UFL, we are here. Boom! Eddie Cool, the ball.
Yeah, man. I was like, wow. Oh, he kicked the hell out of that ball. But shout out to him, because trust me, kicking a football is not as easy as it looks, all right? Fellas, we got WrestleMania coming up pretty soon. And on this day in history, back in 1995, WrestleMania 11 at the Harvard Civic Center, linebacker, Hall of Famer Lawrence Taylor defeats Bam Bam Bigelow in the main event. Who was it? Pamela Anderson was there. Jim
who was McCarthy booking was that mess?
Well, hey, pal, you got one. You know who booked that. It's gonna, yeah, hey pal, you know how it is. So, I ain't gonna lie to you, man. I saw it. Lawrence did look a little gassed, but yeah, it's combining celebrity star power in the world of sports and entertainment. So, yeah, Lawrence Taylor is 1-0 at WrestleMania. Oh, you got it, D.
All right, we talked Yankees, talked Lakers. Who's missing?
Here we go.
Jared Jones says we are locked and loaded this year on Dak's contract. That means if he's holding true to his word, if this is true, which you know he likes to always hold true to his word, all in. If this is true, the teaser's coming that Dak could be a free agent at the end of next season. Please don't tease me like that. Please don't tease me like that. Just go ahead and announce the new contract that you're giving him $1 billion and you're bringing Zeke back. Don't tease me. Don't tell me that next year it could be the no Dak year. Don't tease me like that, Jerry Jones. Please be live in my pain.
There's been rumors that the Cowboys are going to move up to try to pick up Michael Penix Jr. So
that's not going to happen. Because Jerry is silly enough to believe that if he lets Dak walk, he's going to be fine because he's got Trey Lance on the bench.
Jesus Christ.
Well, my third and final pepper point, as Scotty D's got something going on with his green screen or whatever, however he does it. But while everybody else in the NFL is playing checkers, clearly, the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid are playing chess because, you know what? We ain't worried about the draft. We ain't worried about free agency, the combine, whatnot. We're not even worried about football players anymore. But I want you to know this name, Luis Riz-Zamit. The Kansas City Chiefs pick him up. He's going to enter into camp. 23-year-old Riz-Zamit left this beloved sport of rugby for an opportunity to play in the NFL back in January this year. He's been a member of the Welsh national team since 2020, and he's reached international stardom. And one, he runs a 4.44 40.
Wow.
And once was clocked during a rugby game running an astonishing 24.2 miles per hour.
That this, boy fast.
I watched a couple of highlights. I'm like, ooh, this dude could be dangerous. And in a Andy Reid scheme, Luis Riz-Zahmid, pay attention to that name. You might hear it in the NFL this year. And he said his favorite player growing up was DeSean Jackson. And you know how DeSean Jackson, Andy Reid, 6 degrees of separation, Luis Riz-Zahmid. I'm curious to see, especially with the, that's a spoiler for next week. As a kickoff specialist, kickoff return. Yeah, we'll talk about that next week. Yes, sir.
All right, did we all get our pepper points in? Did is Scotty D missing? Is he missing in action?
He fell over the ledge.
He fell over the ledge. That's a beautiful view he has there. Scotty D is. Oh, he's the Undertaker. Oh man, did we all get our pepper points in?
Yeah, we did.
We did. Scotty D does his best Undertaker impersonation. Thanks for listening to us, following us, rate, review, subscribe on all of our social medias. It'll be the link will be in the link tree. It'll be in the description box. Any final words before we get up out of here?
NCAA women's basketball, get it together, do better. I'm going to be watching LSU Iowa while I'm bowling tonight. Try to throw that. What is so funny? What sport do you play right now, Scott?
He plays this game where he's the Undertaker.
What are you getting defensive about? I'm not laughing at you.
What are you laughing at?
I saw a sticker that was funny.
Stick you.
I thought of a funny joke.
Knock, who's there?
And in closing, do
something nice for someone else. If you can, do something nice for yourself. How about this one more time? And in closing, do something nice for yourself. And if you can, do something nice for someone else, because they'll appreciate it now more than ever. Be a blessing, not a burden. And as always, thank you for listening, watching, rate, review, and subscribing. Keep on doing it. This is the Sports Bros Podcast. Be live. Take us home.
Yes, sir.
Gimmick infringement.
Yes, sir. Don't do it no more, Scott Dion. Told you about your mess.
Yes, sir.
Just because you don't have your own stick.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Why am I getting draft notifications for fantasy football? Anyways, see y'all next week. And as always, thanks for watching and listening to the Sports Bros Podcast. Try your best not to be fooled on April Fool's, even though it's come out Tuesday. But y'all get what the hell I mean. All right, bye. See y'all later. Another episode of Sports Bros Podcast. In the books, we're out.
Hey, it's Eddie Cool here from the Sports Bros Podcast. Thank you for listening. And as always, continue to follow us on all of our social media platforms. Just click the link in the description box and keep up with the Sports Bros Podcast. And once again, thanks for listening.